And then our next speaker on the agenda is going to be Loretta Ford. And she'll be doing, I'm looking for my agenda here. Guess I didn't grab it. She'll be presenting information on the project itself to kind of open up the information for the whole 4 days, giving an idea of the project. And then from there, we'll go on to the presentations by our individual consultants. I'm sorry, after Loretta, we have Charlotte McKay. And she'll be talking a bit about the environmental baseline document itself. So from that, I'll hand it off to Loretta Ford. I do have a bios from everyone. And for Loretta, Loretta has worked as an environmental consultant for various firms in British Columbia. And she was the mines inspector for reclamation for the mines branch of the British Columbia provincial government. She's been working on the Pebble project for the last eight years, since 2004, in a number of different capacities. She's currently the Environmental Engineering Integration Manager for PLP. She has a diploma in Conservation and Reclamation Technology, Bachelor of Science in Soil Science, and a Master of Science in Mine Reclamation. With that, let's welcome Loretta Ford.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Jane, for the introduction. And as you heard from the introduction, I am not an engineer. So I was volunteered to do this for Domenico Palacia. And Domenico is the manager of engineering for the Pebble project. And he is unfortunate he was not able to come today. So I'm here to present his information. And just to give everybody a bit of an overview of the project, it is, for those who are not aware of where it's located, I'll go over that in a minute, but I think it's important for everybody to understand that it's not just a mining project. It's more than that. There is a deposit that can be mined, but there is also, because it's remote, it also includes a road project, a port project, and there will be a need for power. So it is very comprehensive. This information takes years to design and to the most optimal level. So it's not simple. We all recognize that it's complex and it takes a lot of information to get to the best possible project layout. I wanted to also explain to you that my presentation is going to be a description of the components in our operation. It won't be able to provide the specifics. A commitment was made to go to the region and present the project to them first. So I won't be able to give you details, but I will be telling you the components that will be there for the project. For those who are not familiar with where the Pebble project is located, there's the pebble in blue with a red dot close to the village of Iliamna. There's the another view of the area with the Pebble project. You can see there's a road in yellow that leads to a potential port site in this area near the Cook Inlet. This is Cook Inlet. Also, Anchorage is highlighted here to give you some perspective. The Kenai Peninsula. This is the Bristol Bay area, and the following ovals are for the Nishigak and the Quijac drainages. And this is why we're here this week. It's for all of us to get a full understanding of the environmental studies that have gone on since 2004 and even earlier. Over $120 million has been invested in obtaining this baseline information. And yes, we need to know what's there before any development occurs, but it also informs the engineering design. And that's a key component, and part of my role is to help facilitate that with the engineering team, is to make sure that environmental considerations are brought into the design up front. So these are typical mining operations. There is a shovel and truck hauling ore from an open pit. The schematic here of in-pit crushing on the, one of the benches of an open pit. Another view of the open an open pit in operations, and there is the, still interest and in an underground. It at this time it's not it's being studied in more detail. We have estimate at this time. The mine will likely be something around 20 to 30 years, probably start as an open pit. Again, further studies are ongoing. Once the ore is extracted from the open pit, it is crushed and into a fine powder. The grinding process makes the ore particles much smaller and allows it to go to have liquids added to it that extract the copper minerals. That's called flotation. And the current thinking is that it's a froth flotation, which is industry standard and used in many of the operating mines here in Alaska. This is a flotation cell. It's inside of a building. The bubbles that come to the surface with the copper minerals attached to the outside are then skimmed off, and that becomes what's called the copper concentrate. The copper concentrate is then, the current plan is thinking that we would pipe it to a port facility. When it is at the port, it'll be dewatered so that there's less water in it. And that water is then piped and pumped back up to the mine site, so it will be a closed circuit system. There is also molybdenum in the resource, and molybdenum is separated at the mine site in the same process building. It's then stored in bags and shipped in containers to the port site for market. There's still discussions on secondary gold recovery. It's not known at this time whether or not that is going to be in the project or not. Most of the energy that is used at the mine site will be to crush the ore. And that is something that is an incredible exercise, is to determine the amount of power needed that must be generated to achieve the grinding size that's desired. Where is the sensor for this advance? Oh, there, thank you. Typical plant construction. All the buildings will be enclosed. This is a cold part of the world. So we want to make sure all the facilities are protected, and so the people are also working in a safe environment. After the ore is crushed and ground and the minerals are extracted, tailings are produced. And tailings is the residual rock that doesn't have the minerals attached to it anymore. And so that is pumped as a slurry out to a holding facility called a tailings embankment. And this is a typical design for a tailings embankment. It's a solid retaining structure. It's not like the Hoover Dam, which is built completely differently. It doesn't hold the water that a water retaining dam would. So there's solids that are added behind the tailings embankment and become increasingly consolidated over time. And there is just a thin layer of water at the very top of the tailing sand. The engineering team is working very hard at this time to design it. It is being designed to a high level of conservative stability, and somebody will be speaking later about the seismicity of the area and how that is a component of the dam design. This is a photograph of a different type of dam. This one is for the Gibraltar mine in British Columbia. It may be hard for you to see, but just below the clouds is a layer of white. That's the tailings embankment for this type of design. It's built differently than the earthen structure that would be built at the Pebble project. But it's one of the things that's important for everybody to understand is that any surface runoff or seepage is collected and managed. It's not allowed to escape into the environment. It is pumped back into the system with redundant and multiple levels of monitoring and management levels. The power plant, there will be a need for power generation. The current thinking is that it would be a plant built at the mine site. Approximately 400 megawatts may be needed. That is still being studied further. There will be a need for some power at the port site, and that would have its own independent power at this time. So that means there may be opportunities to share the excess generated power with communities, and that's been part of our discussions, particularly with John Shively's efforts on this project. Building a project in a remote area requires significant infrastructure. Again, another important part. We'll be relying on air and water freight extensively. There is an existing airstrip at the Iliamna village, which can carry larger aircraft, which is very helpful. But we'll also need to have access into the site. There's a number of potential road routes that are being studied and optimized. Discussions have been occurring with some of the local villages, and progress is being made that way. The length of the road to the port, if on the Cook Inlet side, there is about 85 miles. There will be, like I said earlier, the copper concentrate will be piped from the mine site to the port in the current thinking. There will be other pipelines. They will be, at this time, the plan is to bury them. So the copper concentrate goes from the mine to the port. The reclaimed water, being the water that's extracted out of the concentrate to make the concentrate more of a solid, is then collected and pumped back up to the mine site. There will also be a need for diesel fuel and natural gas. The pipelines, just to also reinforce, the pipelines will be parallel to the road so that there isn't additional disturbances. This is a typical type of port layout. A schematic, just to give you an idea of that there are facilities that would be on the land side, the terrestrial side. The concentrate storage area is enclosed, it's covered, you don't want any escapement of that material. Ships are loaded through tubes so that you don't have any dust escaping. And I'd like just to make sure and reiterate that with the audience that mine planning begins with planning the closure of the project. Every facility is, as it's being developed or designed and advanced, the question is always asked, well, how do we close that in a safe manner, in a sustainable manner? And so it is an ongoing and iterative process, and innate in all of our thinking and planning. This is an example of a reclaimed tailings facility at Highland Valley Copper. Highland Valley Copper has been operating for many decades. Part of the tailings surface was revegetated. Another part was left to be a lake. The lake was stocked with trout, and the mining company has a fishing derby every year to raise funds for the local children's hospital. It's just an example of how closure, when thought through in a meaningful way, in an active way, can be successful. That's it. That's all my presentation.
With that. we can take questions from the audience here. Okay. Any questions? There's no need for, there's no switches. You can just start talking and everyone will hear.
Testing. The question I have is, over time the design included a slurry line. And in terms of the molybdenum bags, is there any risk associated with that?
Risk associated with the concentrate pipeline or with the molybdenum in the transportation bags?
The molybdenum in the transportation bags.
They're contained, it's a standard procedure when molybdenum is produced at a mine. Hanna Valley Copper does this. It's a strong, stable, large bag carried on a pallet and put inside a transport container. So there is multiple layers of containment of the molybdenum concentrate inside the bags, inside the container, etc.
All right, thank you very much.
Any more questions? Oh, thank you very much, Catherine.
I'm sorry, I'll identify. This is Teal Smith, and I'm with Chugyung Tribal today.
Any further questions from Loretta? Okay. Thanks, Loretta.